Network proudly presents The Jerry Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
So the Washington Redskins wet the bad guys against St. Louis, who had yet to register a victory until they beat Washington. But fortunately for the Redskins, the New York Giants wet the bed Monday night against the Cleveland Browns. And fortunately for Washington, Dallas also wet the bed against Arizona. And take it a step further, Tony Romo might be out 4 weeks, guys, with a pinky injury, a broken pinky. Brad Johnson's the starting quarterback. He's 40 years old. He hasn't started a game since 2006. And Brooks Bollinger's the third-string backup quarterback. That could play out well for the Redskins, guys. It's the Jerry Miller Show. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Miller. We're live in three states through five affiliates. And it's Tuesday, top of hour two. We welcome a good man to the program, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Mr. Coleman, what did you make of the Tommy Bowden firing, sir?
I really didn't think it would happen in the middle of the season, but at the same time, I'm not sure how it could make Clemson any worse. You know, I mean, I think, you know, it's like Tommy Bowden said, you might as well go ahead and get it over with. You know, I mean, if you know what's going to happen, go ahead and do it now. I thought it was an interesting choice. Of who they gave the interim job to, their wide receivers coach, and the first thing he did was fire the offensive coordinator, who had obviously been his boss up until a few minutes before that. But definitely some interesting things going down there in Clemson. You know, some of their players, you know, like James Davis, are really upset by it. You know, other guys, Colin Harper, I think, pretty happy to see it. So I think it was just a mess of a situation down there.
Let's get some obvious things out of the way here. We know Bud Foster, the defense coordinator at Virginia Tech, wants to be a head coach. We know that he's very loyal to Frank Beamer as well. I look at Coach Beamer. He has as long as he wants in Blacksburg to coach Virginia Tech. Probably, you know, 8-10 years. We'll see. I'll throw it to you in a second. First question, is Foster on the short list? I don't think so. Despite all the credentials and reputation and what's on his resume as one of the best coordinators in the country, because defense doesn't necessarily sell tickets, it's not sexy. Open-ended, Mr. Coleman, what do you make of it?
That's a good point. I don't think he's on the short list. Arguably, I think he should be. I think I remember reading one of the Clemson message boards last year after the Hokies smacked him around, and a lot of their fans were saying, Bud Foster for head coach. You know, I mean, Clemson, if you look at Clemson, they just don't have that toughness. You know, they've got athletes on both sides of the ball. They don't have that much talent on their offensive line, but they do have talent on their defensive line, but they're still not tough. They're not as tough as they should be. But Bud Foster would change that in a heartbeat. That would be a much tougher football program under Bud Foster than it is under Tommy Bowden. And obviously, with Clemson's location, they'll always be able to recruit down there in the southeast. You know, I think he's a guy that would bring exactly what that program is missing right now, which is toughness. But at the same time, I don't think he's on the short list. So I don't think Virginia Tech fans have to worry about that.
I agree with you, Mr. Coleman, here. And you know, he should be there. He's not going to be there. I'm not sure why. The question I'll throw to you, Mr. Coleman, why in age of college football where coordinators are promoted to head coaches all the time, and Bud Foster's cutting edge, he's innovative, he's certainly one of the top one, two, or three defensive coordinators in the country, why is he still a coordinator and not a head coach?
Man, I have no idea, to be honest with you. I think it's kind of crazy, you know. A lot of teams, you see, they'll hire offensive coordinators. But Bud Foster is a guy who should be a head coach, in my opinion. Nebraska hired Bo Pelini, who was a defensive coordinator at LSU, but he had been at Nebraska in the past. They were very familiar with him. He was actually interim head coach there after they fired Frank Solich. But, you know, the fact that a guy like Bud Foster is still out there, to me, I don't get it, to be honest with you, because, I might be a little biased here, but, you know, if I'm looking for a head coach, he's one of my top choices.
I agree 100%. I mean, and I'm throwing in the fact that he, you know, has been an apprentice, if you may, under Frank Beamer. for an eternity. Beamer's one of the best coaches in the nation, certainly a Hall of Fame coach, Frank Beamer. And he's got playoff experience. He produces NFL talent. His defenses are always top five, top ten in the country. I mean, is it the recruiting? Is it the personality? Is it maybe, you know, with Al Groh doesn't know how to work the alumni base, doesn't know how to put on the front? Is that what's holding him back?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's personality, because I think Bud's one of the best interviews, actually, on the tech staff. He's a very personable guy. He's easy to get along with. You know, but as a head coach, you know, there's more to being a head coach. You kind of have to be the CEO of the program. And, you know, I guess that's somewhat questionable, but that's questionable for any guy who's never been a head coach before. It was questionable for Bo Pelini. You know, I mean, he was an interim head coach at one point, but he's never been a head coach before. So if you hire any coordinator, that's questionable in my opinion. But, you know, when you look at Foster's resume, I mean, to me it's obvious that the guy should be a head coach by now. You know, for his sake, I'm sorry for him that he hasn't gotten the opportunity, but for Virginia Tech's sake, I'm really glad.
No doubt about that, guys. We're in an age of college football where spread offenses are being infused from left to right. We know the media, we know the fan base, the donors, the alumni. They want to ooh and ah as Percy Harvin beats a linebacker in the open field, as Tyrod Taylor does it in open field, Mykel Simpson. And unfortunately, Bud Foster is that 9-to-5, that blue-collar clock-in, clock-out coach, where sports should be an escape from football, an escape from the job. I love Bud Foster. I think Foster should be on the short list. CC's exactly right. He probably is not. And Mr. Coleman, I guess we'll take a moment to look ahead to Boston College. Chris Coleman, the associate editor at TechSideline.com. Are you fearful of Chris Crane? I mean, Chris Crane beat up NC State, but NC State is not Virginia Tech. What are your thoughts on Crane?
I can't get a feel for Chris Crane, to be honest with you. You know, the previous week against, I believe, Rhode Island, they only passed for 28 yards as a team. You know, and then they pass for over 400 against NC State. You know, he's thrown a lot of interceptions this year, as most Jeff Jagodinski quarterbacks do. You know, you look back to last year, Matt Ryan threw a bunch of picks last year. He had never thrown interceptions before until Jags got there and took over. They're more aggressive on offense than they were under Tom O'Brien, I think. He's unknown to me, and the unknown scares you a little bit, but at the same time, I think Virginia Tech has played better quarterbacks this year than Chris Crane. When you look at Joe Gantz, you look at T.J. Yates, I mean, those guys to me are better than Chris Crane. Crane has had one good game, you know, against probably, arguably the worst defense, you know, in the ACC. So, I don't think that says too much right there.
CC's exactly right, guys. 34-51, 428 against NC State. He's 6'4", 239, Chris Crane of Boston College. If Virginia Tech is a 2.5-point underdog, I know the game is at Chestnut Hill, so maybe Virginia Tech the half-point favorite if you get 3 points for playing at home. But this team, coming out of the bye week, going into the BC game, how are confidence levels? How's the locker room?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good that Virginia Tech won all those close games against, you know, solid opponents there in the first half of the season, because that really brings the team together. It gives them confidence. I think they're a battle-tested team to this point, and I really don't think Boston College is. You know, they've played Georgia Tech. That's really the only good opponent they've played so far. You know, they've played NC State, they've played Central Florida, they've played Rhode Island, but I think maybe Central Michigan, one of those Michigans. They haven't been battle-tested like the Hokies have, and in their one battle, in their one game against a good opponent, they lost at home to Georgia Tech. So I think that kind of gives Virginia Tech the advantage. It's kind of similar to when the Hokies went out to Nebraska, and they had played Georgia Tech and North Carolina in back-to-back games, and Nebraska hadn't played anybody yet.
Chris Coleman, guys, associate editor of TechSideline.com, Virginia Tech at Boston College, Chestnut Hill. The Hokies, early 2.5-point underdog. I found that very intriguing, that 2.5-point underdog. I think that's very strange, but what do I know? Let me throw this to you here. Randy King had an interesting tidbit in the Roanoke Times today in preparation for this program. He said that Morgan and Lewis Jr., who have both been lost to season-ending injuries, combined for 15 of the 18 Virginia Tech kickoff returns through the first six games. Who is the likely candidate, Mr. Coleman, to replace Lewis Jr. and Morgan as kickoff specialists?
They've tried a few different guys back there in practice. They tried Patrick Terry, who's a redshirt freshman receiver who hasn't played in the game yet. They've tried Chris Hill, who's a redshirt freshman corner. Tried Irvin Garner, who's a redshirt freshman receiver who has not played in a game yet. I think they're kind of giving Dustin Pickle and Jairi Cheeseman a look back there as well. But to be honest with you, I have no idea who to expect to be returning kicks for the Hokies on Saturday. And to be honest, I'm not sure it matters because I don't think Boston College is going to be able to get a lot done against Virginia Tech's defense. You know, I don't see them kicking off more than two or three times in this game. I'm not really sure. You know, Tech's never been particularly good at kickoff returns anyway. You just go out there and hope they don't fumble, as far as I'm concerned. But they never. That doesn't seem like they break off a big return very often.
I'm going to throw this out here as a potential kick return man, and if you disagree, pick it apart like Thanksgiving turkey. What do you think, Mr. Coleman?
Well, you know, I've been an advocate of putting your best players on the field all the time. When Macho Harris returned that kickoff for a touchdown against Clemson last year, I said, you know, why doesn't he have the ball more? Why isn't he getting the ball in his hands more in situations like that? But when it comes down to it, you've got him playing offense this year. You got him playing defense this year. You got him returning punts. You know, how often do you want to put him out there and risk an injury? But at the same time, he's a guy in a close, low-scoring defensive game like this is going to be. You know, one play by Macho Harris could be the difference in the game, so it wouldn't bother me a bit to see him put him out there, to be honest with you. You've got to be aggressive, and you got to try to win football games.
Good stuff from CC. Macho Harris, guys, ranks 13th in the country in punt returns at 15.1 yards per attempt. That's 13th in the nation. 2 minutes left, Mr. Coleman. I got a lot to throw to you, sir. We'll pick up the pace and tempo. With the Brandon Tate season-ending injury, and I think a lot of us thought at the midway point of the season, Tate was the front runner for ACC Offensive Player of the Year. Who is your choice now, and how close are a Tyrod Taylor and a Darren Evans?
You know, Tyrod Taylor, it's going to come down to who wins the conference, I think. If Virginia Tech wins the conference, and it's got a good chance to be Tyrod Taylor. I wasn't sold on Tate as Offensive Player of the Year. He was like a big play guy, but he only has 16 catches on the year. He's doing most of his damage on special teams. Hakeem Nicks actually has over twice as many receptions as Brandon Tate. That's the other receiver on UNC's team. So I think a guy like Nicks, if they could come back and win the Coastal Division, could have a shot.
Who do you have in the Coastal? Virginia Tech is the clear favorite, but if Virginia can beat North Carolina, 30 seconds left, Mr. Coleman, Virginia beats North Carolina, are they the best team to challenge the Hokies, with the Hokies having the tiebreaker over the Yellow Jackets and the Tar Heels?
I don't think so, because Virginia still has to go on the road and play some more football games. And Virginia is a much different team on the road. When they play on the road, they look completely unprepared. So I'm not prepared to take that step yet.
Chris Coleman's exactly right, guys. TechSideline.com. We're on his website all the time. He's the associate editor at TechSideline.com. Joins us on Tuesdays. Mr. Coleman, you're a good man. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate it, Jerry.
Good guy right there. CC, thank you very much for joining us. Open phone lines on the other side of the break. New River Valley and Central Virginia. You will have a local sports update coming from me, the New River Valley guys. We got a sponsor, State Farm Agent. We'll get to that in a second. New River Valley. Miller's Minutes on the other side of the break. We'll have open phone lines in segment two of hour two. And we'll see if we can catch up with a Washington Redskin on this program. I'm Jerry Miller. It's the Jerry Miller Show.